gathering together the body of Christ to know Him, the one true God, is really our heart's desire. I pray that is your heart's desire this year, to come into the very presence of the Lord and to know Him more than you knew Him last year, right? Does anybody here think that they know everything of God? Idiots? No, we don't. We do not know. Everything that I know about God is less than a minuscule bit. The one thing that I do need to know about God is that He loves you. He loves you right where you are. He loves you who you are. He's come to show His grace, His might, His mercy to you. And He was born. He was born for the main reason, just that we could have a relationship with the Most High God. He came to make a way where there was no way. Yeah, He came to seek and save those who were lost. And as we're on the threshold of a new year, I'm praying that we would invest our hearts and our minds into rededication. That we would look a little bit deeper than what we looked last year. And I don't know about you guys, but I know me, as I'm looking at another year that has passed, right, and a new year is dawning. I'm looking back and I've seen where I've made some mistakes. Anybody here make some mistakes last year? Amen. I'm with you. I made some mistakes last year. I know that there are some things that I accomplished by the grace of God correctly. Anybody do something right? Amen. I did a couple things right. I did some things wrong. I did some things right. But I know that everything that's before us right now is new and is unknown. We're, again, coming up on the new year. There are things which brought God glory in my life and other things that brought God shame because of my life. And as we're coming up into this newness, this new year celebration that's right on the threshold, it's time to refocus. Amen. This next year, we have 8,766 hours to focus.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. That breaks down to 525,960 minutes, or it could be 31,557,600 seconds. So you got some time on your hands. What you going to do? Going to do with this new year, all that time? It's like this undiscovered gift that we've been given. Chance to turn over a new leaf, a chance to examine what we have done wrong, and a chance to make adjustments in our life. Do you think we could do better this year than we did last year? I think I can. There's some adjustments that I'm going to make in this next year that I hope, I pray, is going to help this body. It's going to help us grow spiritually. It's going to help us grow with a focus on Him and not so much on us. It's going to teach us maybe how to love a little bit better than what we loved last year. That's what I'm praying. That's what I'm looking for. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, this is not where we're going to teach, but this is something that Paul said. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." 14 says, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul here is kind of confessing exactly what we just talked about. He's saying, listen, I haven't made it yet. I haven't reached perfection yet. I have not done everything right. I've made some mistakes, but one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to let those mistakes, I'm going to let them be like water under a bridge. I'm going to let them pass on. I'm not going to be weighed down and encumbered about by my last year's mistakes. I'm going to be focused on next year. I'm going to press on for that high calling of Christ. I'm going to press on for the full goodness that the Lord has for me. And in that, what I see in that is where I have made mistakes from last year. And as Paul, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. I don't have any facts about that, but I believe that he did. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the latter part of that. He said, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." Amen? Looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Listen, we as a body of Christ need to do some things, as is instructed here in Hebrews. We need to lay aside some things. We need to examine our lives with a real intensity and saying, "All right, God, what needs to get out of my life that I can walk better with you? What baggage do I need to get rid of? What can I lay aside? What is profitable and what is not profitable in my life?" And the amount of time that we have in those 8,766 hours, or the 31,557,600 seconds we have in this next and upcoming year. What do we do with that time? I don't know about you guys, but I know in me that there is some weight that I could cast off. A lot of y'all don't know it, and I'm going to make a confession to you. I was off Facebook, but I got back on Facebook for the better part of last year. What a waste of time. Amen. A total and complete waste of hours a year. How much time did I waste on the stupidness of the internet? How much time did I waste in things that really weren't profitable unto the Lord? So one thing I'm doing is I'm taking that waste of time. I'm not going to worry about that. Okay? But what I did is I deleted all of my social media accounts yesterday. Every one of them. If y'all want to get a hold of me, you can still find me on Messenger, right? If you need to message me, because some folks, that's how they talk to me. Or if you want to text me, you can text me. If you want to call me, you can call me. But the best way to get up with me is visit me. All right? Take a little bit of time, get out of your comfort zone, get out of my comfort zone, stop by my house, stop by the office, and let's sit down and talk about some stuff. Amen? And let's start building relationships. It's so easy to text somebody and say that I talked to them. No, you didn't. You know, no, you didn't. Now, I got friends that are around the world that the only way that we can communicate is either Messenger, right, or is through texting back and forth, or WhatsApp, right? It's easier for them and cheaper for them to use that. So I'll keep those things going, because I still want to pray with certain people. I still want to reach out to people. I still want to minister the best I can. So I'm not saying I'm doing without the internet completely, but I'm definitely not going to be caught up in the internet like I was last year. And so that's one of the things that I'm doing. That's one of the things that I know I need to lay aside, that weight, that sin that so easily beset me. And you might be saying, "Well, Facebook's not a sin," and in itself it's not. But what you do with that time absolutely can become sinful. We only have 8,766 hours. And you look at that, how many hours, because you have a way to keep track of that, right? You look on your computer and tells you how many hours that you spent on the computer. Folks, I'm ashamed of what I wasted this past year. But I'm looking forward to the next year, this next opportunity that God has given me. The responsibility that He's given me is more than the past that I've wasted. It's the future that lays before us. Our last year's past. Amen. Can you do anything about the mistakes you did last year? Nope. They're done and gone. How about the victories of last year? Can I hold on to the victories that I had of last year? Nope. I really can't. Because that time and space, that little moment of time as it's going, it has come, I either won or I lost, and it passed. So So it's time to shuck off all that stuff from yesteryear. It might be time to look at the broken walls around my life. In Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a man. He was the food taster to Artaxerxes. All right, and he knew that there was the walls around Jerusalem were broken down, and he said, "I've got to do something about it. The walls around the temple are broken down. I've got to go and rebuild the walls." And God made a way where there didn't seem to be a way. Let me ask you this. Do you have any walls you think need to be repaired? Do you know that you are the temple of God? All right, let's start with that. Do you know that you are the very temple of God in the New Testament? In the Old Testament, it was a physical wall that needed to be rebuilt in Nehemiah's day. In Ezra's day, they came and they rebuilt the temple. And then Nehemiah came and he rebuilt the wall around the temple. And this is the time for us to really look around at our temple. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Do you know that? Let me ask you again. Do you know that if you're born again, do you know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? Amen. All right? You know that? So how are we working with the temple? Are there some areas in my life that I can build a better protection around? Not that the Holy Spirit needs protecting, but I know my mind needs protecting. I know my eye gate needs protecting. My ear gate needs protecting. My walls of defense often need to be rebuilt and built again because the enemy comes up and he's looking to hurt you. He's looking to ruin your reputation as a Christian. And so he fires these fiery darts at you. How often? All day, every day. Now, I know that we have the Spirit, and we have the shield of faith, and that's to work, but there's some things that I can do. You know, one of the things, I already talked about it this morning, is I got off of my internet garbage, right? There's some of the things that I can do because I know it's a stumbling block for me. So that's one of the walls I'm going to go and repair. I'm going to make an adjustment in my life. Why? Because I want my temple to be holy and to be better suited for God to call me and to use me in different areas. And I hope that's true with you. Now for the text that we'll be speaking on today, if you'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. While you get there, I'll finish reading 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which belong to God. So you're born again, right? You're saved. Let me ask you this, just right straight out, and you don't have to be embarrassed. If you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know this, you don't belong to Him. If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've accepted Him in your heart, in your life, let me let you know this, you are born again, you are saved. Alright? And there's some truth to that. There's some things we need to hold on to that. But you need to really check if you are or if you ain't, because I can't tell. And you can't really tell about me. The only two things on the earth that know if I am absolutely and truly born again is my spirit and the spirit of God when we have communion with one another. I know I'm saved because I know God and He knows me and we talk. I spend time with Him. And believe it or not, it seems like He enjoys it. Right? Because He talks back to me. You talk to God? Absolutely. Every time I open my Bible, I fall on my face before the Lord and I pray, I know that there's this connection between He and I. And that's the only way anybody can tell if they're saved. Right? Because it's not of good works. A lot of people get all messed up with that. I'm saved because I did this or I do that. No, that doesn't mean nothing. I mean, don't get me wrong, you ought to do works because you're saved, but your good works does not prove your salvation. I know a lot of folks that do a lot of good things, but they are far away from God. If you've gotten to Luke chapter 9, we'll start reading in 23. There's three things that I'm going to pick out here. I think I'm going to read 23 on down a little bit, and the Lord will tell me when to stop. I know where in my mind I need to stop. Let's go. Verse 23, and this is Jesus talking, and he said unto them, he's talking to his disciples, he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory, in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you a truth, therefore some standing here shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. All right, and then he goes into the Mount of Transfiguration with that. There's three things I'm going to point to here in verse 23. In verse 23, let's go back and I'll read that again. And he said to them, he said to his disciples, he said to them that already had a relationship with him, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It starts out with this, if any man will come after me. So you need to ask yourself, are you willing to be that person who wants to come after Jesus? This is a free will thing. God isn't twisting your arm saying, you better come after me, you better follow me, or I won't have a relationship with you. That's not what he's saying. He said, listen, if you really want to have a deep understanding of who I am, you want to follow me. You got to get to this place in your mind that if I really want to have a deep relationship with God, I need to break away from those things that will stop me from following the Lord. Okay? What do I love more than God? What do I love more than reading His Word? What do I love more than praying? What do I love more than coming to the body of Christ and worshiping Him? What is real God in my life? What is the thing that I'm worshiping over the one true living God? Listen, if I really want to follow Jesus, there should be no other God before Him in my life. There should be no other thing that I want more than a real life relationship with this Jesus who came and died for my sin. There should be nothing more important to me than a relationship with Him. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Let me ask you, do you want that same thing? If you will follow Him, do you want to? Do you have a desire for that? He said, if any man will come after me, first you've got to deny yourself. What does that mean to deny myself? Tells us in Luke 14, 26 and 27, to be his disciple, Jesus is talking, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27 says, whosoever doeth not bear his own cross cannot be my disciple. Now here in Luke 14, 26, he isn't saying don't like your relatives. He says, listen, if you have them above me, if you want to follow them more than you want to follow me, if you want to follow the Buffalo Bills more than following me, if you want to follow your wife, your kids, your daughters, I would love to come to church, but my kid has a ball game, so I can't come to church, I can't come to the body, I can't read my Bible, because I'm following my kid to this ungodly thing. I'm following my parents to this ungodly thing.
I'm following myself to this ungodly thing. Jesus says, if you choose them over me, you have no relationship with me, and you can't even learn of me. That means be my disciple. That's what a disciple is a student. This next year, do you really want to come after him?
Well, there are some proofs of that. How do you prove that you want to come after him?
Obey.
You've got to deny yourself. You've got to obey his word. You've got to look deeply into your own life and say, what is the thing this past year that was a stumbling block for me that stopped me from being everything God wanted me to be? Because I don't know about you, I am not as far along as I could be with him. This year, right now, where I am, I'm not where I could have been because I allowed stuff to get in between he and I. I allowed that. My free will broke that down. Right? Now, what is your free will telling you? I would love to come, but my wife doesn't want me to. I would love to be a part of it because this and this and that and the other. All these excuses we hold up before God. And you say, oh. What do you think that does to the Lord? Now, if any man, put your name there. Put your name there. If any person, back in Luke chapter 9, if Curtis Fitz will come after me, if I will really follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some things I need to learn to do. There are some disciplines I need to start obeying in my personal life. If Curtis Fitz will, that word will means desire. Am I determined? Am I motivated to follow him? Now, that's real personal. Jesus was real personal when he was saying this. He wasn't thinking some high-in-the-sky thing. He was getting down and dirty, as we would call it. He's getting all up in their face. Sometimes I need the Lord to get all up in my face. Most times I need it. And you know what else I need? I need the body of Christ. You guys, when you see me slipping or start teaching some weird stuff, I need you to get up in my face. Right? And say, dude, what you're saying is cat mouthwash. It's no good. You know that they make cat mouthwash? They ought to. Right? And when you are doing something that isn't glorifying God, you know what my job is, along with each of them? I need to get up in your face. And I do that not because I don't want you to grow. I do that because I want you to grow. I don't say those things to hurt your feelings. I say those things that your feelings might change into the obedience of God. Because if your feelings aren't his feelings, your feelings don't matter. It doesn't matter what your mama thinks. Doesn't matter what your kids think. Doesn't matter what your uncle thinks or your wife or your husband thinks. If those people's thoughts and their actions draw you away from the one true God, then I must deny my flesh. I must deny what I want to do to follow him. Something that I learned a long, long time ago. I cannot go with God and stay where I am. I can't do that. Because God's always on the move. He's always seeking people. He's always asking me to get outside of my comfort zone.
Oh, Lord, I'd love to go do that, but it feels so uncomfortable.
You know, so what? Do you think it bothers God that you're uncomfortable? I think it was real comfortable for the Lord when he was hanging on the cross for your sin.
Amen.
Oh, well, how comfortable is this? I'm leaving out for you, ragdolls. Denying yourself, what does that really mean? It might mean not playing sports. You know, if that's the thing that's keeping you from a right relationship with God. It might mean taking your favorite thing, right, and putting it away for a little while. Fasting. Food's one of my favorite things. And I'll let y'all guys know, I did not fast this year the way that I should fast. Now, I prayed, all right? But did I really get
down with God. I mean, there's a spot in prayer that it changes you, right?
Did I pray like a Band-Aid over a splinter?
Right?
Oh, God, relieve this splinter in my life, but I refuse to pull it out.
Right? So I'm going to put a Band-Aid over it. I'm going to cover it with some of that skin stuff, you know? But I'm not going to get to the root of the problem and pull out the thorn. God says, listen, you need to deny your comforts, deny yourself. Deny yourself. To organize my lifestyle to accomplish a goal. You know what that means? That denying yourself? If you want to be we got some sport players here, right? If you want to be a really, really good basketball player, do you miss practice? No. You go to practice every time practice is there, and you dribble that ball, and you listen to the coach holler at you, but you make adjustments, and you learn how to work with the rest of the team. Same with football, hockey, tennis, golf, right? I don't care. And even hunting, if you're a hunter and you like to go out hunting, guess what you got to do? You got to go out and learn how that animal acts, how it reacts. If you're going to catch him in his best spot where you can kill him and eat him, you need to be there where he's at, right? And it takes discipline. That means I'm going to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to walk out on a bitterly cold day, right? I'm going to sit real still. I'm going to dress to make myself look like a tree, right? And then when he comes by, I'm going to put a dart in him. Thunk. I'm going to eat him. Right? Because that's what I want to do. So I denied myself sleep to get out there and do that. I denied myself, if you're in a sporting team or whatever, if you're in any kind of thing, I denied myself something else so that I could spend my time, some of those 8,766 hours that I have in a year. I did what I could. I denied what I wanted to do, that I could come into this other thing that would develop me into something that I am not, that I might glorify something greater than me. Right? That's what Jesus, that's when he says deny yourself. That's what he's talking about. Deny yourself and then take up your cross. We got to understand if we want to walk with him, then we got to say, take up my cross. What does that really mean? Now, in Jesus' day, when Jesus told that to his disciples, take up your cross, they knew exactly what he was talking about. See how nice and smooth the edges of this cross is right here? Ooh, that's easy. I can pick that up. No problem. Man, that's an easy thing. Or this decoration that so many people wear around their neck. I'll take that. See this cross? Or they'll say, I'm taking my cross up, and my cross, here's what it is, and I get to live with this hard-to-live-with person. And that's, I'm bearing my burden. I'm picking up my cross. I'm going to stay with them no matter. That's not really what he's talking about. What Jesus is talking about, he's talking about that cross beam that led to death. The Romans, and the truth about crucifixion is that there was this log that you had to carry. And it was 100 pounds maybe more, I really don't know. But I've heard tell, you know, the size and the weight of it. Imagine that. Jesus is saying, I want you to take this thing that's so heavy and you're going to die nailed to it. I want you to pick up that burden and follow me. But see, Jesus, if I take up my cross, that means I can't do what my wife wants me to. It means that I can't really even do what I want to do. I've got to pick up this log here and follow you to death. Do I really want to do that? It's called counting the cost. Are you willing to die to yourself for the one who died for you? Those are heavy thoughts. To take that cross off, that heavy burden, And he wants you to know these things. If any person will come after me, if anybody will do that, first deny yourself, then really take up that burden, take up that cross, and do the things that Jesus did. You can't do it out of some form of self-pity or pride. That's not what it's meant. It's the fully laying yourself down. Fully giving it away. He said after that, and follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. What do you think Jesus was meaning when he said, follow me? When he told Peter in the boat, follow me. What did Peter have to do? Could he continue to be a fisherman? Couldn't be a fisherman. He had to leave everything he knew in the dust to walk with the man who had no bed, no home, no residency. When he called Matthew, the tax collector, he said, hey, Matt, follow me. What did Matthew have to do? He had to deny himself. He had to bear his cross. Right? He had decided in his heart, I'm going to go where the man is. I'm going to go where Jesus is. I'm going to do the things that Jesus is going to do. How am I going to pay my bills? I don't know. But I know that God called me, and I know that he called me, and he asked me to have this deep, meaningful relationship with him, that I'm not going to do what my wife or my kids, my husband and my job, all this stuff, I'm not going to do what they tell me to do. I'm going to do what he has asked me to do. Free will. I'm going to follow him. Do you know what it means to follow somebody? To be like them, to eat with them. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. It's funny, he didn't change his occupation, he just changed what he was catching. He was a fisherman. Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. No longer are you going to catch the stinky, slimy fish out of the Galilee, which were nice, don't get me wrong. They're beautiful fish. But you eat those fish, they come and they go, right? Not much to them. Jesus says, if you follow me, Peter, if you follow me, Matthew, if you follow me, John, if you do these things, I'm going to change everything that you know. I'm going to open up your mind. I'm going to do something in you that you could not imagine could be done. As Jesus said, if you're going to save your life, you're going to lose it. Right? Lord, I would love to follow you. I really want to follow you, God. But this thing here is stopping me. You'll lose it. You know that? I would love to walk with you. I would love to give my heart to you. I would love to truly be used completely and totally by you. But my kids, my wife, my dog, my house, my credit card bills. I would love to do what you would call me to do, but my life, Jesus, what about my life? What about your life? The Bible says you're only here like a vapor. You're here for a moment, a second, in the face of eternity. I'd love to follow you, but my will needs to be done, Lord, not your will, not yours. In Matthew 16, let's flip over there, because there's some guys we need to look at real quick before this is all over. Matthew 16. And of course I flipped right by it. 15, 13, 18, 16. Starting in verse 24. Lord, I hope I got this right because I just scratched it down. That's the very same thing that we read. I must be in the wrong spot. 61. Man, I didn't write down. Y'all will know what I'm talking about, though. Let me go into this. There was a time when Jesus was talking. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in Luke. I skipped down. Back to Luke. Back to Luke chapter 9 again. So it's the same place that we were. I knew that it was closer than what I thought. And this is in verse 57 and following. Remember the context of what he's talking about. He's talking about denying yourself and walking. And it came to pass in verse 57. And it came to pass that they went in the way, and a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And another, he said unto another, Jesus said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, O let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said unto him, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. There's three different people here, three different scenarios. In Matthew, and that's where I was before, in Matthew, in the same recollection, it says that that first man that asked him, that said, I will follow you, he was a scribe. So Matthew identifies this guy who said, Jesus, I'll follow you, the first one, but Matthew says that a scribe came to Jesus and said, I will follow you. And Jesus explains to this man, listen, fellow, if you're going to follow me, expect some hard times. If you say you want to follow me, glory to God, glory to the Father, you want to follow me, but you need to count the cross. You need to count the cost. Count it. Listen, you're going to follow me, you're going to be sleeping in the dirt, buddy. Right? I have nowhere to lay my head. Foxes have a hole in the ground, but the Son of Man doesn't even have that. Listen, if you're going to follow me, you might be living somewhere you don't want to live. You're going to be experiencing some things that are uncomfortable, Mr. Scribe. You know, and a scribe back in those days was like a computer programmer today, making like stupid money, living in California, right? He was living the high life in Jerusalem, man. He was a scribe. He had a worth and he had a value and he probably had a huge home and he had seven or eight donkeys that he rode, different shoes that he wore every day. He was a scribe. He has a good paying job. And Jesus said, listen, you really want to follow me? And I want you to follow me, but count the cost before you do. This isn't talking about the man's salvation. This is talking about, really, if you want to follow me, you ought to understand that things are going to be different in your life. See, in the church today, we hear follow Jesus. We all say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, but I'm not going to change anything that's going on in my life. Now, listen, folks, if you don't change some things in your life, you probably can't follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus, but I'm not going to lose any of the comforts of America. Listen, you probably can't follow Jesus if you have that attitude. Lord, I'd love to follow you, but this or but that or but the other. Listen, Jesus said, understand the cost. You're going to be without a place to sleep. Might go hungry a few nights. And then another one, he looked at another one in the crowd in verse 59 there. He said, follow. Jesus said, follow me. And the man said, let me go bury my father first. And you might think that his daddy was on the door of death, right? He's dying this afternoon. I just got to go put him in the ground, Jesus. I'll be right back. No, this man probably wasn't even sick. He says, listen, Jesus, I will follow you, but I got to wait till all of my family stuff is taken care of first.
will follow you.
Yeah, sure, Jesus, no problem. But I won't do it until this other thing happens. And when this other thing happens, I'll follow you then. Once my daddy dies. Because my daddy don't like Christians. So when he's in the ground, he's turned cold, I'll follow you then.
Is that the kind of relationship we want with him? Jesus said, listen, let the dead bury their own dead. Listen, your daddy don't want nothing to do with me. He's dead. And he's surrounded with people who don't want to follow me. They're dead too. When he dies, let them bury him. But you go and preach the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom. Then another man said, Lord, let me follow you. I will follow you. Verse 61, and another said to the Lord, Lord, I will follow you, but first, let me tell everybody in my house, see you later. Listen, Jesus, all I got to do is go back to the world for a second. I will tell all my barroom friends. I want to go back to the world just for a little bit. I want to go back there, and I want to tell all those people back there that I won't see you no more. Jesus' reply to him was very staunch, wasn't it? Back in his face. He said, any man who lays his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So, we're coming on 2020, folks. Do you want to follow him? Will you deny yourself and bear your cross to follow him? There are so many what I call mealy-mouthed Christians in the church today. They say they want a relationship with God, but they won't die to anything. I'll worship God as long as I'm on the mountaintop, right? I'll worship God when everything's going my way, when I have everything that I want. Oh, I'll follow the Lord then, man. Oh, but let the slightest thing get in the way. Do you really want to follow him? This is a new year. This is a new call from Jesus. And the question still stands. Will you follow me? Will you follow him? Will this year, this next 365 days, I think that's how many is in a year, 365, right? And well, those days, how about the 52 weeks? 66?
This year.
Oh, it's a leap year. And the Jewish calendar is only 360. Okay? Make it simple. They don't have a leap year. All right? How about that? How much of the time that you have this year, how much of these few precious fleeting moments that are really but a vapor in the face of eternity, how much of that is truly going to be God-centered? I can't make that decision for you. Amen? I can't tell you to do anything. It's not my job. But I'm going to tell you this. As for me and my house, as for this dwelling, I can't even tell you this for my wife. But as for me, Curtis, this vessel, I'm making some changes. All right? I'm going to stop doing some of the stuff I like to do, that I can do some of the things that he has called me to do. I'm really going to look at bearing my cross. I'm going to look at that. Jesus, what does that mean for me today? Does that mean I got to go talk to my nasty neighbor that doesn't like me? Well, it might. Right? How about giving away something you don't want to give away? It might. How about taking all of your personal financial information and sending it to another country? It might. I don't know what you're going to do. I would say I don't care, but I really do care. I care for each and every one of you. And let me tell you this. I promise I'm going to shut up in a few, maybe 30, 40 minutes from now. It's going to end pretty soon. If you decide to follow Jesus this year, if you decide to do that, I will promise you a more abundant life. Amen? Because He promised that. That's His promise. I've tested it and I know it's true. Amen? And I guarantee you, if you will do it, He will do it. Alright? Now, when He says abundant life, don't think more money in your paycheck. Because that might not happen. Think of learning of Him better and deeper than you've ever learned of Him before. How about feeling Him carrying you when you're too tired to walk? How about Him feeding you when there's no food on the shelf? Meeting your bills when you don't have money in the bank? Abundant life. How about more trouble than you can imagine? More heartbreak? Let me tell you, that abundant life, it goes with heartbreak too. Because when you pour yourself out into other people's lives, yeah, it hurts. When you see them fall away, when you see them wane, when you see them hurt, it hurts you. But willing to open up your chest and let your heart be taken advantage of every day. When you do that, you get to know the Father and you get to know the Son whom He has sent. And that is equivalent to eternal life. Amen? John 17:3. This is eternal life, that you know the Father and the Son whom He has sent. He wants you to know Him. If He keeps calling out every day, follow me. Every moment, every temptation, everything that comes our way, that small, still voice, not forcing you to follow Him, but giving you an opportunity. If you want life more abundantly, follow me. And we struggle with that. I struggle with that. Right? I'd love to follow you, Lord, but it's going to be uncomfortable. I might lose some stuff. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I love you. We praise you. We are anticipating your movement in this next year. Father, we're looking for you. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit is moving amongst your body right here, right now. Lord, you're leading us into that deep desire to follow you. That we would want to follow you. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us to love the way that you love. Help us to die to ourselves. Oh, God, we need you right now more than we've ever needed you before. Fill us with your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you for those things. In Jesus' high and mighty name, amen.
Amen.